Father, we thank you for allowing us to live in this country that you have blessed in so many ways, Lord. We pray that we would honor you with our decisions, honor you with the way that we live, honor you with the way that we love one another, as that song said, with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Lord, we pray that we would not only be the best Americans that we can be, but that we would be the best Christians that we can be, which is so much more important, Lord. As we continue our worship this morning, may you be glorified, and may we not take for granted what you've given us, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's wonderful to see so many of you here with us in person this morning. So many of you that have not been with us over the last several months. I see some new faces, and that's wonderful. Today being fall kickoff, we have a whole slew of things that we're going to be doing. And at this time, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and release the children. Please have them put their masks back on. And then follow Mrs. Hickok and Liberty back to Children's Church. Now, parents, hopefully you got the message that they're going to be spending some time outside today. So if you have preschoolers through fifth graders, they can go ahead and go with Mrs. Hickok at this time. And then we did also send out an email earlier this week saying that the nursery is open, but it's not staffed. So parents, if you need to take your little one back to the nursery. There is sound back there. You can still hear the service. This morning, being fall kickoff, we're going to go ahead and start a brand new series. And before we get into this series, I want to make some things very clear. First of all, number one, we are all blessed to be living in the nation that we're living in. There are so many in so many other countries that have things so much worse than we do here. And sometimes if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we take for granted what we have here in the United States. But being as great a country as it is, we still obviously have room for improvement in the future, right? Now, there's going to be some things that I'm going to say this morning, because I want to call us, number one, back to being Christians, okay? All of you, I'm hoping in November, are going to vote one way or another. But more importantly than which way you vote is the way that you live. And you need to live as a Christian first. And then whatever political party you associate with, that comes further down the line. Does that make sense? Christian first. Whatever political party you associate with comes further down the line. It may be second, it may be 10th for you, okay? But either way, it's not first. Does that make sense? As Christians, we need to be Christians first. And I've got a couple illustrations this morning that I want to share with you, but I want to make sure that before I get into that, that all of us recognize where I'm coming from, okay? I have a great love for this country. I believe that God has blessed it in many ways, and I believe that there are still ways that we can and need to improve. I am incredibly thankful for our military, both current and those who have fought to ensure our freedom in the past. Amen? So that being said, this first illustration, I've asked for some help, so my help is going to come up on stage, and obviously with us being not quite clear of this whole COVID situation, we still have some strange things in place. Like, for example, I still have to stand behind plexiglass when I'm preaching. Well, in order to give this illustration this morning, I can't do that. So I know this is going to look a little bit strange. It's going to look even worse on video, and I understand that. But in order to do this, I have to put on this screen. Okay? So, Matthew, go ahead and stand right here. face that direction. Jeff, if you could move right up here. Guys, could you turn the house lights down, but leave the spotlights on? Go ahead and leave the spotlights on. And Josh, could you advance my slide one spot? All right, very good. Very good. Hopefully you can see me. I can barely see you. I know you're still here. There's no way that you snuck out this quickly. Here's what I want to explain, because I've seen this happen a lot in the last several years. In fact, I think that a lot of you are going to be able to relate to this illustration. I personally have three cousins that have gone this direction, and I believe that as I explain this a little bit, you're going to have people pop up into your mind that you've seen the same type of thing happen. Okay, so this is our young college student right here. He grew up in a Christian family, a very conservative Christian family, and he's going off to college for the first time. Okay, now at college, he's going to be introduced to some things that he really wasn't introduced to in the bubble that his family created for him. As a conservative Christian, there's going to be ideas that he's not really thought through quite as well as he could have. And he's going to have to make some decisions on his own. Okay. Now, remember, this is just an illustration, and these volunteers came up here willingly, so none of what I'm going to say actually reflects them as individuals, okay? They are my human props, and I am so thankful that they were willing to come up here and be a part of this illustration this morning. But this is Mom, okay? Now, Mom is a very conservative Christian. Her faith is incredibly important to her, and so are her political beliefs. Okay? Now, as you're looking at the stage, hopefully you've recognized by now that we've adjusted our stage to fit your point of view. Okay? So this is the left and this is the right, in spite of the fact that when I stand like this, obviously this is my left and this is my right. Okay? So Mom is now son is slightly to the right because of the beliefs that he has grown up with, okay? Mom is pretty far to the right. She has a strong Christian faith, but she also has strong political beliefs as well, okay? And she invests those political beliefs into son, right? That's what we do. Whether we do it intentionally or unintentionally, that's what we do. Now, when he goes to college, he gets involved with a Christian group at this college, and he meets some people that are Christians, but lean a little bit further to the left than what he's grown up with. Does that make sense? Okay. So now he's got to think through what he believes as an individual, and things can sometimes be a little bit confusing for him, because Mom tells him some things and he says, okay, I understand what she's saying. I understand where she's coming from. But then she hears things from his friends that lean a little bit left, and he thinks, well, man, those are not bad ideas either. You know, okay, I understand that all people were created in the image of God. And therefore, all people, whether born, unborn, from the moment of conception until the moment of death, they're all important to God. And of course, even beyond, right? And so he starts hearing things from his left-leaning friends that
he's never heard before, or he just doesn't understand. And you know what? As he's going to college now he starts to meet some people that identify maybe as homosexual, who call themselves Christians, who are really, really nice people. So in his mind, he's confused about all these different thoughts. You know, not only homosexual, but also he meets some people that are pro-immigration in a way that he's never even thought of it before. And he hears these things like Black Lives Matter and all these different things. And in his head are all these thoughts that he's gotten from his parents swirling around, and all these thoughts that he's gotten from his new friends at college swirling around, and he's so confused. Which one's right? Who's right? Which way do we go? And I want you to notice the lights that are on the stage. Okay? I've intentionally not mentioned these lights until just now. When we think about politics, a lot of times when we think about the Democratic Party, we think about blue. And when we think about the Republican Party, we think about red. And I want us to understand that being a Christian in the age of politics that we live in cannot be as simple as red and white for us. Because if we are honest and we evaluate all of the perspectives of the major political candidates of today, none of them line up perfectly with the light. Does that make sense? Now, we want to feel right in what we believe and in what we share with other people. So if I lean a little bit right, I want to be all right. I want to be all red. And I want God's candidate to be all red. And if I lean blue, the same thing. I want God's candidate to be blue. And unfortunately for us, in 2020, it's not that simple. Because if we look at the major issues of today, there are some things where when we look at the Bible, I can go, okay, the right candidate, the candidate on the right, holds a little bit closer to the Bible on this particular issue. But the candidate on the left holds closer to the Bible on this particular issue. And I want all of us as Christians in November to vote, but I want us to vote for what we think is the most godly candidate available. The most Christian, the closest thing to what God would want to be the candidate. And I'm not going to tell you who that is. You have to decide for yourself who that is, and not everyone in this room will agree that it's the same person. And we as Christians have to not lean so far one direction or so far the other direction that we condemn another brother or sister who votes differently than we do. Okay, now back to the illustration. Now, I've got my college student, remember, and all these thoughts are swirling around in his head. And here's what I've seen in three of my cousins and in some people that actually grew up in this church. He actually sees more of the light on the person to the left than he does on his parents. Do you understand? His parents continue moving one direction politically, and he thinks to himself, man, if I look around, she looks really red right now. And he looks blue, but he's still in the light. And here's what I've seen in my cousins, okay? They haven't gone like this, right? What they've done is they've gone like this. And I have three cousins right now that do not identify as believers, though they grew up in the faith. They have completely abandoned the faith because they recognized that they didn't agree with mom's political views or dad's political views. And so rather than moving over and still identifying as Christian, they've jumped all the way over and no longer identify as Christian at all. Has anybody else seen anything like that? Or am I the only one? I see a few hands through the fog here. All right. Could we give a hand to my helpers? Thank you so much, guys. See, when it comes to this November, we want it to be, we want God's candidate to be either all blue or all red. And that may not necessarily be what happens. I have a video that I posted on my Facebook page this past week. It was called Kingdom Voting by Tony Evans, and I asked if you as a congregation would watch it, and I know some of you have, but some of you have not, and if you haven't, please go back and watch that video this coming week. In fact, it's a series. Last week's episode was the first one in that series, but he's planning on doing these for 10 weeks. In fact, this week he's covering Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, which many of you are familiar with. But I posted another video on my Facebook page. It was called Things That Christians Need to Think About When They're Voting, or something to that effect. And I want to use myself as the illustration for this. I'm going to show you 3 minutes of that video, but I've got to put my mask back on in order to do that. And as I do that, I'm going to start in the middle of the stage here. And as he talks about these particular issues that we need to think through as Christians, I'm going to move where I land personally. You may not land in that same spot, and that's fine. Here's what we need to remember when it comes to November, though. Whoever we vote for, we need to stand before God one day and explain to him why we made that choice. So I'm going to move according to where I land as we watch this video.
Our country line up with my biblical scriptural views. So let me give you 5 issues that I believe would govern how Jesus would vote if he was voting in the 2020 election. Number one, the sanctity of life. Where does this particular politician stand on that issue? Are they trying to promote abortion rights? Are they trying to make it easier for people to abort babies and whatnot? What is their view
now, remember,
on when a life begins? And
this
all
is my right.
Because I believe
this
life
is
near and dear to the heart of God. Number two, the sanctity of the family. Does this politician support the biblical view that family is between a husband and a wife and children? Or do they have this idea that family can be whatever you want it to be? Are they pushing for certain rights to be passed in our country that would go against these particular standards in terms of what God would have to say about family? Number three, religious freedom. Are they trying to stand against the church and Christians from being able to voice what we believe is consistent with the scriptures on issues that this country is facing? Or are they trying to make it easier and support the free will and the freedom of speech of churches in terms of religious freedom? The fourth issue is justice. I believe justice
now, remember,
is near
is
and
me.
Dear to the heart of
okay,
God.
This so may not necessarily be
things
you.
That are going on in our country right now, does this politician clearly communicate that they care about life? If they say they care about the sanctity of life of the unborn, do they care about the life of those who are already born in terms of justice being issued, in terms of how the government demonstrates justice and carries out justice in different situations that our country is facing at this time? And then the fifth and final one is caring for the poor and the less fortunate. Now, I know this is a controversial one because you'll have a lot of people who will say, you know what, that's not the job of the government. That's the job of the church. Well, guess what? not everybody in our country is part of a church. And a lot of the funds that a church uses is to provide for their individual members or maybe even the community, surrounding community. But what about those people who are outside of the church who still need to be taken care of? What does this politician or this party have to say about the poor? Because I've got news for you. There are way more scriptures in the Bible about God's heart for the poor in terms of taking care of the poor and the less fortunate and the disenfranchised and the underprivileged than there are about a lot of other issues that we say are Christian issues that every Christian needs to consider. So these are just a few things that we need to look at in terms of how.
Okay. Now, where did I land? A little. Now, this is my right. Remember, for this illustration, this is my right. Where did I land? I landed a little bit right of center. Now, for you, you might not land in the same spot that I do. And that's fine. And I'm not telling anybody here that you need to land right of center. You might land left. You might land further right than I am. But this is where I landed. Okay? Because here's the thing. I'm not willing to swallow one party's entire agenda or the other. Because everything that I do needs to be filtered through the idea of Christian first. I am first and foremost a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, where I land, is that going to determine which candidate I vote for? Sure it is. Is it going to be as difficult, or is it going to be as easy for me to determine which candidate I'm going to vote for as it would be if I landed over here or if I landed over here? No, landing here is going to be difficult for me to choose which candidate to vote for. But it's my responsibility as a Christian to put God and the Bible above either political party. Okay? As Tony Evans said in that video that I asked you to watch, I am a kingdom independent. The kingdom of God is more important to me than the kingdom of the United States of America, either right or left. You know, I just got back from my sabbatical, and the last couple weeks before I came back from my sabbatical was the Democratic National Convention and then the Republican National Convention. How many of you watched either one of those? Did anybody watch either Joe Biden's speech or President Trump's speech? Okay, a few of you. I watched both of their speeches. I didn't watch the rest of either one, but I watched both of their speeches. In fact, I watched both of their speeches twice. Now, President Trump's speech was 70 minutes long, and I watched it twice. Joe Biden's speech was only 25 minutes long, and I watched that twice. That wasn't as time-consuming. But I thought it was interesting, some of the things that they said, and I just pulled one line out of each of their speeches, and I want to share it with you this morning. Joe Biden, in his speech, said, "I will be an ally of the light, not the darkness." Now, it's interesting to me that throughout his speech, he was saying that we're living in a time of darkness. In fact, we're living in a time of darkness in here right now. Could we turn back the sermon? The sermon lights up? You don't have to turn the spotlights on, just the sermon lights. Thank you. And I think that for most Christians right now, if Joe Biden hadn't said this, we would totally agree with it. I think that there are some Christians that, because Joe Biden said we live in a time of darkness, think, no, we don't. We're living in a great age. But I think that a lot of us, if we're honest about it, we look at this nation and we go, it's a great nation, but we need to repent. It's a great nation, but we are not where we should be. We as a people ought to be Christian first, and we're not. I personally believe that for this nation to turn back to the Lord, it takes repentance in the churches. There needs to be repentance in the churches before revival can happen in the nation. The people in the pews need to be dedicated to God all week long. All week long, and not just on Sunday morning. And I think that if Joe Biden hadn't said this, if Donald Trump had said it, I think a lot of Christians would go, yep, we are living in a time of darkness and we need to repent. But Joe Biden said it. So Donald Trump gets up a week or so later and he gives his speech. And he says, America is not a land clothed in darkness. America is the torch that enlightens the world. Now, again, I think that many conservative Christians, if Joe Biden had said that, would have been like, you're out of your mind. This is a nation that needs to repent. This is a nation that needs to be drawn back to God. And yet, because President Trump said it, like, yeah. Yeah. I really think it's interesting that he chose these words. You know why I think it's interesting that President Trump chose these words? And remember, when I did my illustration, remember where I landed, right? Now, one thing I want to point out, okay? If I land right here, where do I look like to people over here? I'm pretty far left to people way over here, right? Where do I look like to people over here? I look pretty far right. So you know what happens to a person that lands right here? They get shot at by both sides. They get shot at by both sides. You're not Republican enough to be a Republican. I had an uncle who was way over here call me a communist. You get shot at by both sides. Why? Because you're not giving into one of the world's philosophies. You're clinging tight to what this book says. And like I said, you may not land here. Some of you may land over here. And some of you may land further over here. But what's important is not whether you're lit up red or lit up blue, but that you're lit up white. That you're pure and white as snow, because what did Jesus say? He said, he's the light of the world. And then what did he say before he left? He said, we are the light of the world. So it's really interesting to me that Donald Trump chose these words to say in his speech because of the fact that when God first established his people, and who were his people at that time? The nation of Israel. Here's what he said to them. Now, I'm going to actually read that second verse first and then the first verse. He said, through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. And in the book of Isaiah, God said, I will make you a light for the nations. And he was talking about the nation of Israel being a light for all nations. God's idea was, I'm going to take my people and I'm going to plant them in a land, and from that land, light is going to go out all over the world. And that light is going to draw people to me, to God. And we actually see that in the time of Solomon. Actually, we see it multiple times throughout the New Testament, just little glimpses of it here and there. But we see it especially during the time of Solomon, before he went sideways. And we see people from all over the place coming to hear the wisdom of Solomon. In fact, it talks about the Queen of Sheba coming to see Solomon because of, and it even says, his relationship with the Lord. That's why she came there. So it's really interesting to me that Donald Trump chose these words. He said, America is not a land cloaked in darkness. America is the light, is the torch that enlightens the world. It's so interesting to me that he said that, because that's what Israel was supposed to be. That's exactly what Israel was supposed to be. But the Lord came. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven. And before he ascended to heaven, he said, "You are the light of the world." The day of Pentecost happened. The Holy Spirit came upon the church. People from all different areas of the world received the Holy Spirit. There was a persecution of the church, and the church scattered to the four winds of the earth. The Apostle Paul takes the gospel to all these different places, and the gospel spreads all over the earth. And God does something new. Rather than this one piece of land supposed to be the light of the world, God spreads the light of the world all over the world. So there's little pockets of Christians all over the world now. And all of us are supposed to be the light where we are. So it's not that America is supposed to be the torch that enlightens the world. It's Christians everywhere that are supposed to be the light of the world, that are supposed to proclaim Jesus Christ and the salvation that only comes through him. And that's why we need to be Christian first, and that's why we can't be a political party above our Christianity. I want to remind you of a couple of verses that I shared with you last week. Remember, I was talking about the Israelites coming out of Egypt, and did they place their trust in the Lord? Were they saved? Were they not saved? I shared a couple of these with you last week. Remember, starting with this middle one here, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him. And then they wrote a song and they said, "He has become my salvation." Here's what the Apostle Paul writes about these people. Now remember, last week I mentioned that they were mentioned in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Now it would seem unusual to me that people who were not saved by grace through faith would end up in the Hall of Faith. So I believe that at least the majority of the nation of Israel was probably saved. Here's what Paul writes about them in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters." Now, what does that term "brothers and sisters" imply? That Paul believes that he's writing to believers right now, okay? "I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized in the Moses, in the cloud, and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual fruit and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ." So here's the idea that Paul gives here, is he says, okay, now I'm speaking to you believers, and I want you to recognize that the vast majority of the nation of Israel, when they came out of Egypt and started settling the promised land, right? When they came out of Egypt, the vast majority of them were saved. They were in Christ. And then here's verse 5. He says, "Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now I'm going to jump down here to verse 11, and verses 6 through 10, those are the verses that we're going to talk about over the next couple weeks. But verse 11 says, "These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us." Who's he talking to again? He's talking to believers. "These things were written down as warnings to us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way of escape so that you can endure it." So he's talking to believers, and he's saying, just like you are believers, and just like you are tempted, they were believers, and they were also tempted. And some of them fell to that temptation, and there was consequences to it, to that falling. Now, you might remember that in Exodus chapter 19, God takes them to the mountain, and he gives them these 10 commandments. In fact, there's way more than 10 commandments in the Old Testament, but let's just start with these. Because you know what I find? I find that we compromise on these 10 in order to lean further to the right or further to the left. And we're going to talk about those things over the next couple weeks. Number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, let's just start there. Right? If God's perspective is here, which each and every one of us have to make a decision, if it's here, or if it's there, or if it's there, but if God's decision is here, and we are staunchly over here, then what have we done? We have idolized a political position above God's standard. And the same thing happens if we're way over here. We idolize a political position over God's standards. That's just number one out of the 10. Number two, you shall make no graven image. Number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Number five, honor thy father and thy mother. Number six, thou shalt not kill. Number seven, thou shalt not commit adultery. Number eight, thou shalt not steal. Number nine, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, no political people do that one. Number 10, thou shalt not covet. Those are the things that we're going to look at over the next couple weeks. We're going to look at how Israel handled these things. We're going to look at how Paul talks to the Corinthians about these things. We're going to look at the church, and we're going to be honest with ourselves about how well we do what God has asked us to do. And in the middle of that, I'm so excited about the Life Action event that we have coming up, because I know that those people are going to come in and they're going to call us to be where we need to be. They're going to call us to be where we need to be. And if you find yourself politically too far this way and you realize that you're not in the light like you should be in the light, then what do? You turn. And what do we call that? We call that repentance. And if you find yourself too far this way and you recognize that you're not in the light like you should be in the light, what do? You turn. And we call that repentance. And we go back to the light. And this is the light that we need to be shining into the world. the light that we find in the Gospels. So I'm going to skip ahead here. You remember I said Jesus said he was the light of the world. He said, you're the light of the world. There's my harmony. This is what the Apostle John writes. He says, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you. God is light, and in him there is a little bit of darkness. There's some darkness there. No, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. None. Zero. Zip. In God there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, now that's not I'm saying I'm saved. Okay. That's saying I'm in good standing relationship with God right now. If I say I'm in good standing relationship with God right now, and I walk in darkness, I what? I lie. I lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we not only have fellowship with one another, how much division is there in the church today? Because some people are too far one direction politically. There's too much. That's how much. There is too much division in the church because some people are too far one way politically or the other. But if we're in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. Did you know that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you lean right, you can still have fellowship with a believer in Jesus Christ who leans left? Because our tie to Jesus and our tie to one another ought to be greater than our tie to either the left or the right. Now, if I was to ask you to take a red pill or a blue pill, and if I was to say, if you take the blue pill, and there's anything in that blue pill that you disagree with, you're going to die. Or I say, you also have the opportunity to take the red pill. But if there's anything in that red pill that you disagree with and you take it, you're going to die. How many of you would be willing to take either pill? But if I said one of these pills is some red and some white, and the other pill is some blue and some white, we're a little bit more likely to swallow one of those pills. But if I said, I have a pill that I want you to take that is only light, then how many of us would be willing to take that one? And I think that's where we need to be. You might lean a little one way or the other, but in the end, you got to come back to the light. So here's what I want you to do this week. This week, I want you to ask someone, and preferably someone that does not fall into the same political affiliation that you do. I want you to ask them, do you identify me as a particular political party first, or as a Christian first? This is a scary question to ask. I asked this question last week of an individual that I know leans strongly a different direction than I do. And he said, Christian first, 100%. He said, if someone asked me, where do you land? I would have to tell them that your Christian faith is more important than any political view that you hold. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying that because I'm asking you to do something that I've already done. Would I necessarily get that from everyone that I ask? No. If I ask my friends that lean far right, where do I land? You know what they'd probably say? That I'm a commie. That I lean left. But I want you to ask somebody that you don't agree with politically, which one do they see first in you? Do they see Jesus first? Or do they see you as a Republican or a Democrat first and then a Christian? Because all in all, this is where we need to be. We need to be Christian first. We need to be shining the white light into this dark time so that they can see our good works and what? You know this verse. I know you know this verse. So that they can see our good works and what? Glorify our Father. Not president, not candidate. So they can see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Because you know what? One day, there might not be a United States of America. I know it's a hard thought to think, but we're not that old as a nation. One day, there might not be a United States of America. But will there be a kingdom of God? There will. And we need to be more dedicated to that than we are to anything else. Christian first. Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you that we do live in this nation, that we have been blessed more than we deserve, that's for sure. Father, I pray that you would help us by guarding and guiding our hearts and minds into a deeper relationship with you. Father, I pray that as we seek to glorify you today, this week, the November election, the rest of our lives, and on into eternity, we would seek to be Christian first. We would seek to be kingdom first. We would seek you above all else. And if we disagree with someone, help us to shine your light that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who's in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.